St. John, and let's read just a little bit, see if we can have a discussion here. I think I'll start at the 11th chapter, the beginning of it here, and read a good little bit. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I think I'm going to slip my coat off and just talk with you a few minutes tonight. In St. John, the 11th chapter, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, and she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what thing Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Now, that's reading quite a bit. Here in the 40th verse of the 11th chapter, Jesus said here, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now, really, I think that would be a good thought tonight to me, to speak on for just a few minutes. Jesus said to Martha and Mary, that saith I not unto thee, that if thou should believe, that thou wouldest see the glory of God. Now it's evident from all the teaching of the scriptures and everything that I've ever read, that no one has ever yet beheld the glory of God except through faith. I find no record where any man ever beheld the glory of God except through faith. Enoch was translated by faith. Therefore, he saw the glory of God. And everyone that ever believed saw the glory of God. Peter and James and John, all of those that were with him in the Mount of Transfiguration and those that had been with him in his pilgrimage as he traveled to and fro in the world, they believed. And because they believed, they saw the glory of God. Now then, you might say, Brother Pike, what is the glory of God? That's a good question. That's a good question. What is the glory of God? The Bible said His glory He will not give to another. I don't have to walk in the flesh. I can walk in the Spirit. You say, how can I walk in the Spirit, Brother Pike? If I walk in my own intelligence, if I walk in my own understanding, I am walking in the flesh. But if I walk in the mind of God, I am walking in the Spirit of God. For the Bible said that God's mind, God's word, God's thoughts are spirit and they are life. And if I walk in His word, I'm walking in His spirit. If I walk in His mind, I'm walking in His spirit. I don't have to walk in the flesh. If I refuse to think my thoughts and think His thoughts, I'm in the Spirit. The Bible said the man of God meditates in the laws of God day and night. He never stops. Every night when he wakes up, he's thinking about God. When he goes to bed at night, he's thinking about God. All the time he's thinking about God. All the time he thinks about God. He thinks about God in the morning. He thinks about God at night. Driving down the road, he thinks about God. If God gives him something nice and beautiful and new, he doesn't think about it. He thinks about God. That's right. A lot of people get something new. You know they're happy because of the new thing. But God's people, when they get something new, they're happy because God thought more of them than they thought he did. Hallelujah. Everything for God. Always for God. Affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Where thieves break through and steal and where moth does corrupt. But wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. My treasures are in heaven. And Paul said we have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. All of our affection is in heaven. The Bible said to set your affection on things in heaven. That is in the spirit. Let your conversation be in heaven. You say, how could my conversation be in heaven? Be in the spirit. Talk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Have your affections on things of the spirit. Always the things of God. So then we see that we can walk in the spirit. The Bible said you are not in the flesh but in the spirit. I'm not in the flesh tonight. Somebody would say, well, I think you are because I see you. But I am not in the flesh tonight. I'm in the spirit. If I was in the flesh tonight, I could not please God. But the Bible said that if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. For in the flesh, you've got the carnal mind. And the Bible said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now then, if I'm in the carnal mind, I cannot have faith in God. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I might not talk about spiritual things all the time, but I still believe there's no way that you can truly have faith in God and be in the carnal mind. Now, I do not say there isn't any way that you can believe. You can be in the carnal mind and still believe because the devil believes. And you can still believe, but you'll believe a lie and be damned. God will send you strong delusions. You'll have an intellectual brainstorm up here and believe everything's all right when everything's all wrong. But I'm talking about faith in God. There's no way to have it except in the mind of Christ. There is no God faith except in the mind of Christ. If you are believing and you feel because you're believing that you're on your way to heaven, you're wrong. Just believing is not sufficient. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God and I know that I'm going to heaven, Brother Pike. But I want you to know just believing isn't going to take you to heaven. You've got to have what the Bible calls faith in God. Faith in God is not just believing. I can believe in going fishing. I can believe in gossiping. I can believe in having my nest feathered with a little finance laid away on the side. I can believe that I'm better than you are. I can believe anything. But that doesn't take me to heaven. That's not faith. I can believe that I'm a religious person. I can believe that I've got salvation. I can believe that I'm doing everything to please God. That still doesn't help me a bit. But if I've got faith in God, I've got the right thing, my brother. If I've got faith in God, I got something for salvation. You say, what is the difference between believing and having faith in God? There's a world of difference. You can believe what you want to. You don't have to have any scriptural foundation. But faith in God means faith in what the Word of God tells you to do. And the proof of that faith is that you do exactly what it says to do. That's faith in God, my brother. In the beginning was God. God was the Spirit and the Word. Is that right? The Word was Spirit. And the Word came forth. And faith in that Word. That is to say, if I obey from the heart and do what the Word tells me, then I've got faith in the Word. And that's salvation. But if I don't do that, I haven't got it. So then the Bible said, Jesus speaking to Martha and Mary said, I said unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now then, how could I see the glory of God? The belief that he's speaking of here is faith in God. This is the kind of belief that he's speaking of. Here, it is definitely the faith in God. Because Jesus is the manifested Word of God, or was the manifested Word of God in his day, and still is in human bodies today, the Word made flesh today in the church. Jesus is. And so then, they believe. Now, Martha and Mary said, well, we believe. Now, we believe, Lord. But the thing is, what do you believe? Somebody said, I believe I'm Church of God. Well, that's good. Somebody said, I believe I'm Assembly. That's good. Somebody said, well, I believe I'm Methodist. That's good.
Now, that's fine for the world. If you belong to the world, you can believe what you want to. Believe you're Catholic, that's good as far as the world system. But that's no good as far as God's concerned. Believing that you are a Christian is no good. But being a Christian is all right. So then they said, we believe, Lord. But Jesus wanted to know what they believed. And they said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. We believe. The Lord said, Peter, what do you believe? I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, you got faith in God. You got faith in God. And Peter proved it by walking on the water and raising the dead. That's why the church world today is almost powerless, is because they're filled with all kind of dogmas, ideas about how to get to God, how to get to heaven, how to work a miracle, and they know nothing about faith. Now you would say, well, I don't see where you get that. But the Bible said at the coming of the Lord, should God find faith in the earth at his coming? Is that right? He said, O faithless and perverse generation. And yet them people wasn't none believing people. He was talking to people that never knew anything but to believe. They'd been taught in the law of Moses. They believed in what Moses said. They believed in their church system. They believed in the tradition of the elders. They believed in the paganistic practices that had been handed down by the washing of pots and pans, the commandments of men. They believed that, but Jesus said when it come to faith, he said, O faithless generation. But here he finds two people, and he asks them, he said, do you believe? They said, we do believe. Well, what do you believe? We believe that thou art the Christ. Did as I not say unto thee that if thou should believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Hallelujah. In other words, Mary and Martha, that's right. That's the right way to believe. And he said, because you believe the right way, said, I'm going to show you something. He said, your brother's going to live again. But can you get this tonight? Even though Jesus told them that this would happen, yet at the very same time, though they believed, even at the very same hour of believing, they still didn't have their believing straightened out, right? Because Jesus said, saith I not unto thee, thy brother shall live again. They said, Lord, he'll live again. We believe it. We know, we believe your word. We believe what you said. Mary said, I believe that at the last day, Lord, when Paul's change comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last day when Brother Pike named over yonder, I believe that my brother Lazarus will come out of the ground. But Jesus said, Martha, Mary, the way that you need to believe is that I am the resurrection of the life. I am the resurrection of the life. In other words, I got the goods right now, Mary. You don't have to wait till the last day. My. Can you imagine anybody telling God that he had to wait till the last day to resurrect a dead man? What about that? In other words, waiting for God, going to wait 2,000 years before God could call a man out of the grave. They confessed that they believed he was God. Mary said, even now, Lord, whatever you ask, and Martha, whatever you ask of the Father, I know that he'll give it to you. And here he was in the grave. And he said, Jesus said, all right, now I said you could see the glory of God, get the stone out of the way. Now, I see something right there. Hallelujah! I see something right there. If thou shouldst believe, Jesus said, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I see something there, Toby. Jesus said, now I've got a confession of faith here. Let's put it to a work test. Amen. Give your word test and let's see how you really believe. Now you say you believe in a resurrection. We believe. Jesus said, get over there and roll that stone out of the way. That's where the trouble is. A lot of you say you believe, but you got that old heart of stone in you and you can't get it out of the way, can you? When Jesus tells you to get it out of the way, you can't move it. Is that right? You can't get it out of the way, but Jesus said, move it. Now then, I believe. They said, we believe. Jesus said, move the stone. And that day I will take out of you the heart of stone, place within you a heart of flesh, and write my laws upon the table of your heart, constrain you and cause you to walk in the ways of the Lord. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. See, a test. In other words, what do you believe now? You say you believe, roll away the stone. I say to you, you say I believe, roll away the stone. Get away the stone. If you can get that old stony heart out of the way, Jesus will say, Lazarus, come forth. Is that right? Hallelujah. All I've got to do is roll away the stone. And I can hear the voice of God from heaven. It'll say, son, come forth. Hallelujah. In the glory and the brilliance and the brightness of the resurrection of the Son of God. Come forth in the image of God. In the beauty and the liberty of the sons of God. Get away the stone and come forth. Hallelujah. That's all it takes. If I can roll away the stone, Frank, I've got a promise from God. Somebody said, but I know, Brother Pike, we're going to have a resurrection in the last day. Brother, I believe, like Mary said, I believe that he is the resurrection. And I say to you, Jesus said, he said, I say that if thou canst believe, he that believeth on me, he'll never come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. He is not only resurrected, but he is the resurrection. Amen. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Somebody said, where is that resurrection? Here he is. Hallelujah. Here he is. Where is the resurrection? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Hallelujah. Are you the resurrection tonight? Are you? Do you believe in the resurrection? All you got to do is roll away the heart of stone. Get it out of the way. You can feel the stimulation of the Spirit of the living God. The Bible said it'll quicken the mortal body by Spirit that dwelleth within you. He'll do it. The Spirit of God within you, it'll come down. It'll stimulate you. It'll cause something to happen on the inside. Jesus said, I said unto thee that if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, you can see the glory of God. You know, the Bible said that one day Jesus was walking along. While he was walking along, all of a sudden, walking in the Spirit, seeing always through the eyes of understanding, here looking away to heaven, talking with the Lord, Jesus meditating. Finally, the Lord said to God, the eternal Spirit, the body crying out to the Spirit, it said, Father, glorify thy name. The heavens rumbled and a voice came ringing back saying, I have glorified my name. And he said, I will glorify my name. And I said, Lord, how did you ever glorify your name? I said, you told Jesus you glorified your name. I said, how in the world did you ever do it? He said, because my name is Jesus. And I worked miracles through that body. And people said, hallelujah, to the name Jesus. He said, I glorified my name. And I said, son, I'll work another miracle and glorify it some more. Didst I not say unto thee that if thou should believe, thou should see the glory of God? A beautiful thing. The trouble with Adam was he lost his faith. That is to say, he was excommunicated. A beautiful thing there. Though the Bible said they were naked, they were not ashamed. Here's the beautiful thing. Here is God in the garden. What is God? The spiritual glory, the Shekinah. Here he is, the glory in the garden. Here's the man under the great heavenly veil of the Shekinah. Here he is on the Shekinah. Here's Adam. He's not ashamed. Why? Why is he not ashamed? Because Calvary took away his shame. Here he is covered by the great glory of God. He's got a covering. He's not ashamed. He's covered. God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, is hovering over him, covering by the predestinated works of Calvary. Not ashamed. Here he is. Oh, and somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you must be off of your rockers. No, somebody said, but you mean to tell me that Adam was justified by something before his time? Somebody said, well, I could see that after the fall in the garden. No, the Bible said, Father, restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was. In the beginning was the Word. And what was the Word? It was Jesus. And the Word came forth. And we beheld the Word. We beheld His glory. His glory. What was His glory? We beheld His glory. Is that right? The glory overshadowed Adam. Here they are in the garden. What a beautiful scene. The glory of God. Adam and Eve standing on it. They're not ashamed. Are you ashamed tonight? The Bible said hope maketh not ashamed. Christ within you, the hope of glory. When I got Christ within me, the Shekinah glory of God came down. I'm not ashamed tonight. I'm not ashamed. I'm covered tonight. I was ashamed out of the world. I felt naked and wretched and lost and undone without God. The Bible said the last church age would be wretched, naked, and blind, not having a spiritual covering. But I'm not ashamed tonight. I'm covered with the glory from heaven. I'm covered with the glory from heaven tonight. Here they was in the garden. What happened? When they got ashamed, all of a sudden, they got in their own thinking. They decided they better work out something. I know it says you such and such and such and such, but we better doctor it up just a little bit because I don't feel exactly right. So they put in a new amendment to the doctrine. But consequently, after they do that, they still don't feel right. Why? Jesus said you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. It'll never do it. Therefore, by regeneration, that is, I change generations. I change from the old generation of Adam and death over to the new resurrected generation of the Son of a living God. By the washing of the water, of the Word. So then, Adam began to say, like the churches of the day, Eve, I don't feel so good. Oh, and she said, Adam, you're naked. Adam said, Eve, you're naked. But God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the forbidden fruit? Didn't I tell thee not to eat of it? Now you are ashamed. Who told thee? A mind. A mind. What keeps telling you that you're undone without God? What keeps bringing you into condemnation? What is it that keeps on making you feel bad and feel like that you're not part of God's functioning? What causes you to well up with bitterness on the inside and feel bitter? What causes that? What is it? It's that condemnation. It's that voice. It's that mind that's speaking and telling you that you're naked, telling you that you're undone, telling you that you're not right. So then to add a new dogma won't do it, to turn over a new page, to get a new resolution, to start a new conversation, to try to convince yourself of something, it won't work. Adam tried that. He said, Eve, maybe we'd better make us some kind of aprons. Get us a little dogma to cover us up here. We better do something, he said. So then they begin to pick the leaves, and begin to make them aprons. Now what was that? It's evident that the first covenant with Adam and Eve was water. Is that right? It was from the water. Now I want you to see this. The first covenant was water. Then if the first covenant was water, they went to a tree and they ate the fruit of the tree. As I said the other night, they made themselves relative to a tree. So then God likened them to a tree. That when they broke the covenant of the water by taking the fruit of the tree, as it is symbolized, then there was no other covering but the mind from which they had fed. The knowledge of good and evil had to cover them up. So they went for the leaves. Is that right? They began to go into the world of vegetation. They had fallen from the world of spirit. And now they were, as scientists say today, the body is just one big composition of water. They had broken the covenant of the water life that God had given them, and so then they fell all the way down from the spirit realm into that realm of the covering of the leaves. Is that right? I believe that that is why God uses the terms in the book of Revelation that the two olive trees, which is likened unto Solomon's two pillars, Jacob and Boaz, that I believe that the two trees, I believe that's why that God used the terms that the leaves shall be for the healing of the nation. Are you listening? I said, I believe that that is why that God used the terms, and the leaves shall be for the healing of the nation. If you notice, when Hezekiah was sick unto death, God sent a great prophet by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah went over and he said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. You notice when Hezekiah cried aloud to God, asked God to heal him, that God sent the same prophet back, and the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, ye shall live. And he took some fig leaves and put them over the boils. Now, a lot of people jump the guns, you know. They say if a man ever says something, if it don't come to pass, they say, no good, no good, God didn't say it. That just shows how ignorant you are. You don't know what you're speaking of. What it is, you've got a reprobate mind, and you're seeking something to find fault with somebody to tear down what God's doing. If you'd back up and learn the scriptures, then you know where you're going. But you see what I'm speaking of? Here he is, he done told the man he's going to die. He comes right back and tells him he's going to live. Now that if somebody in our day told a man he was going to die, 6 weeks later goes back and tells him he's going to live, somebody say, He just missed it, that's all. And he got afraid and he decided he better change the situation. God didn't miss it. God said, Jonah, go down there and tell them people in 40 days, I'll destroy Nineveh. But God didn't do it, did he? He didn't do it. He said, Jonah, they repented. Go back and tell them that I'm not going to destroy him. Is that right? Though history says day by day, 40 years. And God kept his word. Now, he said to Moses, the Bible said many times God purposed in his heart to destroy Israel. Said, get out of the way, Moses. I will destroy Israel. You know, we don't give God a chance to do nothing, do we? As far as we're concerned, God can't repent. God can't do nothing. But we'd better repent, because God does repent. He's a good example for us. But the Bible said many times he sought to do evil to Israel, but he repented. He repented and he never did it. He changed his mind. Somebody said, God don't change his mind, but God did change his mind. Somebody said, there's nothing impossible for God, but the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. People just don't understand what it is. A lot of times working out here, I try to get somebody to help me dig a hole, plant a tree, do something like Brother Lyman, working all day long out there, working on the grounds. I'm too spiritual to do that. Got too many important things to do that. But I notice that you're not too busy to tear down. You're not too busy to let everybody rip, rump, tear down, find fault, destroy the morals and everything else. But God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. I made the earth to be inhabited. And I will destroy them that destroy the earth. I want to build up the earth. God made it to be a garden. And the devil tore it down. But I want to build it up, don't you? I want to build it up. If I have to plant a flower, I want to build it up. If I have to plant a bush, I have to dig a hole. I don't see people living in rat holes when God gives them houses to live in. I see living in rat holes if you ain't got no house to live in. You're doing it for God, but I think you're foolish to do it otherwise. I want to plant a tree. I want to plant a flower. I want to beautify the earth. I want the Jesus part to come out of me to beautify the earth, not to destroy the earth, not to pluck up, tear down, and destroy them men that's hurling bombs around the earth. Those people that's blowing up, killing, murdering, destroying morals, taking away decency, all of these things. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. God made the earth to be inhabited. He said, even yet shall children play in the streets of Jerusalem. They say, I'm spiritual, I can't work, I'm spiritual, I can't do this, I'm spiritual. But did it ever occur to you that just sitting around doing nothing is not being spiritual? Did it ever occur to you that beating your debts and letting things go down the drain is not being spiritual? Somebody say, why do you say going down the drain? Because I had a vision the other night. And I looked and there was a drain, and some people's going down the drain. I saw them as they squeezed up to go down the drain. That is not being spiritual. You follow me? That's not the glory and plan of God. Now, you could come out of that dead, rotten, stinking state that you're in. Somebody said, but now he stinketh. Just roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And you could come out in the image of God. The Bible said they hardened their heart in the wilderness. They had a stony heart. And God didn't like it, and he broke the stone. He showed them that he'd break that heart at Calvary. Broke it. I'll place within you a tender heart, a heart of flesh, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? So then, what is salvation? Being spiritual, my brother and sister. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you think God's pleased with you planting a flower and planting a bush and doing this and doing that? I believe that he is. All right, somebody said, well, give me some scripture. All right, I will. Before there was ever an evangelistic crusade for lost souls, God, when Adam had plenty of time, said, Adam, dress the garden. Now, has it ever occurred to you, my brother, that sitting around is not being spiritual? Somebody said, but I want to be a spiritual powerhouse for God. Well, all you got to do is get up off your laziness and get going. He said, I'll give you wherever you put your foot. And I say, well, you show me where doing natural things is godly. All right? I'll show you where if you don't do natural things, you don't have any godliness. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, that you sit around and read your Bible and pray and say hallelujah. It don't say that at all, does it? It says to get up and do something to feed the widow. Visit the widow and the orphans in their afflictions. And then keep yourself unspotted from the world. Doing natural things is what God calls being spiritual. There's only one thing. You either do things for the benefit of the devil or you do the thing for the benefit of God. Amen. I could have built this building. Out here I could have built it for a dance hall. And for a beer, a place for gin and beer and whiskey. Is that right? But I built it for God. So then I've done a right thing. Is that right? I've done a right thing. So then I can live my life for God. I can live my life for the devil. I can be holy. I can do anything else. Somebody said, well, to me, being holy is believing. The Bible said, be holy in body. In body. Be holy in body. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't expect people to be holy in this body. I certainly do. God redeemed the spirit. He's expecting you to redeem the body. Amen. He made Adam, but he said, Adam, you dress the garden. Is that right? So then here was two trees. Some leaves covering the nakedness. One of those trees was the tree of death. That was the woman. That was the tree of good and evil. Is that right? That was the woman, the tree of death. Her fruit comes forth from the womb unto death. Is that right? She is a tree. God likens his people to trees. Now, but the man was the tree of life, because his fruit comes forth to the womb for life. Is that right? So then, that was the tree of life. That was the tree of death. You say, why is the man the tree of life? Because the man was not in the transgression. The man had the mind of God. That was the tree of life, and still today is the tree of life. The mind of God, the word of God. But the woman chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil to reason. They'll still do the same thing today. A woman, I don't care what you tell her, she's going to out-reason what you say until you get to her grounds of agreement. They'll do it in spite of all. Now, that is a good example of what the human flesh will do. The preacher can tell them the word, and them being that old fleshly woman, as far as that corruption and rejection, always reason around the word. Is that right? But a virgin, the Bible said there were some virgins withal. Virgins, they are clean, holy, righteous, pure. Now, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There's a number of things I'd like to say. Just for a few minutes in here. We was going good, you know, till I got over on the home front where you live and everybody froze up. All right, now, notice this, that the breaking of the first covenant, that was the water covenant, is that right? But notice, Adam and Eve was the one that put them on the water. They put on the apron, that is, the tree, is that right? But God knew that wouldn't do. That wasn't what they'd done. They'd fell into a place that was altogether different from that. What was it they'd done? There was another covenant. What was that covenant? It was that of the beast. It was that where they would eat food. But forbidden, God forbid them to eat blood. Why couldn't they eat blood? Because blood was typical of the life. It was a sacrifice that was to bring life. And there was only one blood you could eat. And that was the blood of Jesus Christ. Drink my blood, he said. Like this Paul, I want to say Bunyan. This Paul, you know, whatever, Anderson. They say he drinks blood. And go up and kill a big bull. And he just goes up and gets his cup, you know, and turns it up and drinks it. And some people down in Mexico makes blood pudding. But anyway, here God wouldn't let them do it for that reason. But God knew there's something else that was wrong. Is that right? So what he did, and what he did, the Bible said he clothed them not with aprons of leaves, but with skins. Is that right? There's the second one coming in. Bring the second one in. Wasn't nothing left them, but the Spirit was. He knew he was going to have to keep them alive. What it was, see, they broke the water covenant. Now you're going to have to keep them alive with what? Not with leaves, but with animals. And from then on, they're going to have to eat what? Billy goat? Yeah, folks eat goats. They eat everything. Dogs, cats, everything. That's right. Rattlesnakes. Some places it's a delicacy. Camel. So you're going to live off the beast. Got another covenant to keep sustain life because the water covenant was gone. Couldn't just live off of fruit anymore. But they broke that one too. I ain't got time to go in that. We brought out a little the other night, but they broke that one too. But I want to show you something here. What was it that was taking place? It was God was showing here the thing concerning the seed of the serpent. That's what it was. It was the thing concerning the seed of the serpent. I've heard people hash it out and roll it about. And they say, and the serpent seed was this, and the serpent seed was that. And they take one thing, and then they take another thing, and they try their best to prove it was this and that. You say, well, what was it? I'm just telling you what God told me. That's all I know to pass on to you. It's what God told me. Now, according to what I understand, you say, what was the seed of the serpent? Somebody said, well, it was a relation between Eve and the beast. And therefore, because of that, it come forth Cain and come forth a lot of people after him. I'm going to say this again. I want you to listen real good. How have you got time to listen just a few minutes? Let me say this real good. If this is true, if it is actually true that it happened that way, that means that everybody in the lineage of Cain is predestined to go to hell. Now, I'm not speaking spiritually. I'm speaking naturally. Everybody that was ever born through that lineage will go to hell. And it means that everybody that was ever born through the lineage, not of Abel, but the replacement which was Seth, shall go to heaven. That means that today, that there are families in the earth, whole entire families that will go to hell. And there is whole entire families that will go to heaven. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's so. I believe that. I believe that too. But I don't believe every family that's in one lineage will go to hell. And every family that's in another lineage will go to heaven. I don't believe that. And you say, what are you talking about? All right, let's take a minute and just look at it. First of all, he said, if thou believe, thou couldst see the glory of God. All right, let's just look at it for a few minutes. Is it a true fact that scientists positively state that it is absolutely a fact that there is not one drop of a mother's blood in her baby? Is that a fact? Is that right? I had somebody here a while back to try to prove that that was wrong. Brother Branham himself made that statement as a scientific fact. Or somebody said so and so and so and so, and they twisted up and brought it around and proved how it could come in. I know that the mother's blood can get into the baby, but not as a seed. The life comes all together from the seed of the Father, and that's the only blood life there is. If anything from a mother gets in there, it has to come through that means of life. Is that right? Through the feeding of the navel. I didn't have to read no books to find that out. I didn't have to have nobody to tell me. There is a book they've got. Bill's got around here somewhere that I'm hoping that I can get a little bit out of. But I ain't got to it yet. But maybe I will. But I learned a long time ago from God that it can't be any other way. There ain't no other way. The only feeding that a baby gets is through the navel from the mother. That's what it is. Now, and the only blood there is turned into blood from the food of her nourishment, which must mix with the life that's already in the baby, which is the life of the baby that comes from the father. So then, as the origin of life, there's not one drop of a mother's blood in a baby. I'm not quoting anybody. That's the way that Revelation shows it. It can't be that. You say, how do you prove that? Because Jesus was born of God, there was not one drop of Mary's blood in him. It was God's blood. If it had been one drop of Mary's blood in him, it would never suffice for sin. All right, now, looking at this, inasmuch as it's that way, that means that if Cain had married his own sister, wouldn't it matter how that they crossed up in their marriage, there would not have been anything but the bloodline of Cain. There would have been no way to cross the bloodline. It would have been every son that Cain had marrying a Seth woman would have reproduced images unto the Cain male. Because the woman is a carrier. Now, so there couldn't have been any mix-up. That meant that everyone that come from Cain would have died and went to hell. Now, everyone, somebody said, well, I can see that. I believe they did. All right, then tell me what happened on this side then. If you believe it happened on that side like that, here's another side. Let's look at this one. I figured you probably could see it on that side, but let's look at the other side. Now, if it is the true fact that on Seth's side, that every son, though they might have married a heathenistic woman, that is of the lineage of Cain, she would have only been a carrier, and every person that was born of Seth would have gone to heaven. Somebody said, well, I believe that. All right, then explain one thing to me. Just one thing. What is that one thing? The same thing that I intended to ask Brother Branham if I'd ever seen him, ever got a chance to talk to him. That's why when he called me out in his meeting in Arizona, he said, your dad's got a question he wants to ask me. He never didn't know I was in the... And I said, that's true. I did. That was the question. All right, here's the question. If that be true, there's one thing that I want to ask right here. How is it that in one family, two people are born Christians and three is born to go to hell? How can that be? How is it that in your family you've got some sinners and in your family you've got some Christians? Now, you're going to have to do one thing. You're going to have to speak up and say, well, Brother Pike, all of my family's going to heaven. Or either you're going to have to say, well, I've been playing the hypocrite and we're all going to hell. Now, which one do you want to do? Somebody would say, well, I can't say that wretched brother of mine's going to heaven the way he's living, not according to what I've been taught and what I'm preaching. Then we better get us another doctrine. I said, this doctrine that we're preaching ain't going to work for that kind of thing. We're going to have to backtrack here and turn around somehow or another. Somebody said, well, it went over on the flood. And I'm not disputing anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. Said it got over on the flood. I don't care how you took it over. It still couldn't mix. There ain't no way it can mix. If you took it over on the flood or whatever you took it over on, it still wouldn't mix. How could you mix it? Somebody said, well, the woman took the serpent seed over. That means she'd been unfaithful to her husband, which was Noah's son, and that she was with child and she carried the child over in the flood. That wouldn't even make sense. I don't mean that wrong, but that wouldn't even make sense. Because in the first place, that wouldn't change the bloodline at all. And another thing, according to the scriptures, she would have had that child while she was on the boat, which it doesn't show. So that's not right. Now we're to have a love for the truth. Somebody said, well, there goes that serpent seed. That's what it is. No, that wasn't what it was at all. That wasn't what God intended to say. Somebody said, well, what is the serpent seed? If that's not the serpent seed, Brother Pike, what is the serpent seed? Every unregenerated person is not born again is of the devil. They're of the serpent. They are the serpent seed. Every person is not predestinated by God. That is the serpent seed. It's the image of the devil. Every one of them. That's why Jesus called them a generation of vipers and said, you're of your father the serpent. The devil, that's the serpent seed right there. Every one of them. Not some generation that weaved themselves in or got in by some of this or that. It's that person that goes by their intellectual, educational reasoning and by their own human instinct and by their own human mind. Jesus called them a generation of serpents. Another thing is, look at the scriptures. The Bible said that Jesus was not born of the will of flesh. Come on now. Come on now. What is the will of the flesh? It's human affection, human desires, infatuation, the stimulation of the outer man. Is that right? But it said he was not born of that kind of a thing. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. The natural birth brings the serpent seed. When you have a natural birth, my brother, if you never have a spiritual birth, you're of the devil. Every natural birth, that's what the serpent seed was. Eve didn't have to mate with nobody. The fact that natural birth came in the world, it was not God's way. He only suffered it. Natural birth came in the world to produce a generation of snakes. Except the predestinated that passed through the system, which was not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Jesus. Somebody said, well, Brother Pine, I was born of the flesh. Jesus said, that that's born of the Spirit is Spirit. I was born of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, you were born of the flesh just like everybody else. All right, if that's true, I'm going to ask you a question. Jesus, talking to Job. Job getting mixed up in a little folly, talking back, fussing a little bit, telling God how righteous he was. God said, I want to ask you something. Now, young fella, you listen here just a minute. Said, is a natural man going to be more just than God? You think I'm tearing you to pieces just because I'm mean and you're good? Old Job said, forgive me. Said, I've been a sinner. You see that? See, here's Job. He thinks he's justified by his good works. That's a Jewish trait. He said, I've fed the widow. I've done this. I've done that. You know that I've been right. And then God come down there and said, son, you ever heard anything about redemption by the blood? Job, you ever heard anything about Christ that died for the sins of the world? I come down here to talk to you, Job. Tell you about a redemption plan that you're just as dirty as anybody else. Amen. But Lord, you said I was perfect. Perfect through the blood. The predestinated works of Calvary. Perfected forever. Is that right? Somebody said, but Job had the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said they without us could not have the Holy Ghost. Is that right? David never had the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I can't understand how David had the Holy Ghost and had all them wives back there. I couldn't either. If he'd had the Holy Ghost, he'd never had all them wives. You know why? Because the Bible said God would have led him into all truth and all righteousness, and truth would have told him he's committing adultery according to the knowledge that Moses gave him on the mountain. Is that right? So that he didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was back there in that day, and the Holy Ghost moved on people, but David didn't have the Holy Ghost. Those people didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was with them, but they without us could not have the Holy Ghost, which means be made perfect. Is that right? David had to get it just like everybody else. That's what straightens people out. All these people that's wandering around doing different things and going in different directions, that's all puffed up and gossiping, finding fault. Them people don't have the Holy Ghost. A man come down to the house the other day telling me about a preacher that sits and watches the evil, ungodly things on television. He was down here the other night in your service just to shouting, praising God. The man feels the Spirit of God. I said, the man don't have the Holy Ghost. It don't make no difference how much you speak in tongues, shout. That ain't no proof of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the proof of the Holy Ghost is when the Spirit of the Word comes, He'll testify of the Word. Your life will conform to the Word every jot and tittle. All right, now, let's just go just a little bit further, and I'm going to let you go. Now then, what hath to do with the serpent seed? You follow me? What hath to do with the serpent seed? Jesus was born of the will of God. God said to Job, Job, where was you when the morning stars sang together? Took him way back before the world ever was. Said, and the sons of God leap for joy. Now, that means that I had a predestinated spiritual birth in the mind of God, attributes from the loins of the Spirit, before I ever passed through the wound of a natural birth. Somebody said, you can't prove that, but I can prove it. The Bible speaks of paying tithes while he was yet in his father's loins. Now you say, how are you going to prove it? David said, all of my members was wrote down in his book before I ever came into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was, before the world ever began, a son of God. You say, now wait a minute. How you get that? All right, let's look at it just a minute. If that isn't true, then Jesus also would have been born of the flesh. Are you listening? Because Jesus also came through the passage of the natural birth of the woman's womb, just like I did, you did, and everybody else did. But the Bible said he was made a quickening spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Somebody said, but that's him. But the Bible said, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now you say, but that's Jesus. That's Jesus, Brother Pike. But listen just a minute now. You say, that's Jesus. But the Bible said that he that is born of spirit is spirit. Have you ever been born of the Spirit? Have you? Then you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You can see His glory. You can fellowship angels. You're in heaven. You're in another world. You're eternal. You can't die. Oh, I wish we had time to preach this tonight. I wish we had time to preach this tonight. I'm going to close. Don't get restless. Carnal-minded people, don't get restless. I'm not going to hold you over your fixed time in your computer. Just hold on. I'm going to let you go. I'm speaking to the serpent seed now. All right, listen. And what is it? That person that is not the preordained, the predestinated of God, that was sons of God before the world ever was, by the writing down of their names in the book of life, before the world ever begun, those whose names were not written down in the Lamb's book of life, before the world ever was, they are the seed of the serpent, and they're going to be carnal-minded. They'll be just as religious as you are, but they'll be carnal-minded in spite of all that you can do. And they'll be pricks in your side every way that you start. All right, listen. Now, who is the serpent seed? It came from that natural birth in the garden. Everyone that was born down through the natural birth that was not the predestinated of God is of the serpent seed. That means that the natural birth was the origin of the serpent seed. And those that are born of the flesh are of the serpent. But Jesus was not born of the will, the human desire of mankind, But he was begotten of the Father. He was born of the Word. The Word. Born of the will of God. The Word. For Jesus said, Lord, come in the volume of the book as it is written to me, O God, to do thy word, thy will. He was born of the Word. How have you been born of the Word? If you've been born of the Word, that's why I say, if thou shouldst believe, thou can see the glory of God. Faith, believing, is faith in the Word. There is no faith except faith in the Word. The serpent seed cannot have faith in the Word. There isn't any way it can do it. Are you listening? I said it is impossible for the serpent seed to have faith in the Word. He can't do it. If he could, he'd be saved. Somebody said, well, the devil believes in the Word. No, the devil believes there's a God. If the devil believed in the Word, he'd be sanctified. Somebody said, but he quotes the Word. A lot of people quote the Word, don't believe in it. Now, so then what is the serpent seed? It's the nearest thing to the Son of God, which is a man. Who is the serpent seed? A man is the serpent seed. That's who he is. And I can tell him when he comes around to. Me and his spirit don't mate at all. We don't have no charitable intuitions at all. We don't have any fellowship. We don't have any relation. Our minds don't come together. Something about it repels me. I can tell him. I can tell him not to know a man after the flesh, but after the spirit. I can tell him. I can tell him in my service. So then who is the serpent seed? It is that person that is a man. I'm speaking of men and women alike now. Women come from men. They're men in the sight of God in that sense. You belong to your image, whoever you're married to. It's whatever you're. If you ain't ever got one, you belong to your father. Same thing, his image. You're covered by him. All right, now, that means that the person that has never been born to the Spirit of God, unless they are the predestinated, there are still some predestinated in the world that's not heard the call yet, that's not come. And they are not the serpent seed, though they are among the serpent seed. But everyone that's not the predestinated, they will not come. Jesus said, everyone that my Father has given me will come to me. And I will raise him up in the last day. For he said, Father, I have not lost the one that you've given me except the serpent seed. The son of perdition. Is that right? Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? Somebody said, well, I don't believe what you're preaching. Well, why don't you try to take it apart? I'll tell you what, for the next 10 years, if Jesus tarries, you take it apart. And after 10 years, if I'm still living, you come around and show me your findings. I'd like to see them. Get all your helpers, everybody in contact. You ain't going to do nothing with it. You know why? Because it's thus saith the Lord. You can't change it. You can't change it. There ain't nothing you can do to it. Get your scientists and your research and do all you want to. Brother, this come from heaven. And the Bible said it's first peaceful. Don't it feel real peaceful? It said it's first peaceful. Easily to be entreated without partiality. Hallelujah. Doesn't have any respect to person in it, does it? It just says whatever he says is right. That's right. No respect to person in this. It's just whatever he done. You love the Lord. I'd love to say a lot of things here, but I'm going to close out by saying this. Remember, if thou canst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. You believe that? There's a lot to be said if we could just believe. Let's stand together. I love you. I'm not contrary to anybody or anything. I'm just speaking as the light shines on my pathway as I understand it. People who spoke what they spoke had to speak it the way they understood it. They loved me and I loved them. What they said sometimes proved me to be wrong, but they still love me and I love them. What I say sometimes proves people to be wrong, but I still love them. And I trust that they still love me. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, he don't believe marriage and divorce. He don't believe the serpent seed. He don't believe this. He don't believe that. I believe all those things. But I believe it according to the Bible. I just don't believe it the way some of them got it. I don't believe it that way. I can't. If they could prove it to me, I would. I've asked them, Brother Ron. I've sat with them for hours and asked them, and they never proved it. You say, well, you could just take somebody's word for it, but the Bible didn't say that. Where did the Bible say that? Did the Bible tell you to just take my word for it? It didn't do that. It said, if a man prophesy, let the others judge. Is that right? Now, why? It said, prove all things and then hold fast to it. Now, if you can prove it, that's different. But like Caiaphas, when he stood up, look at him, to show you why you have to watch. Caiaphas, being a high priest, stood up and said, know you not it's expedient that one man should die and not the whole nation? And the Bible teaches that he had evil in his mind according to, against Jesus. He was going to kill Jesus. That's all he was talking about. In other words, he was saying, folks, are we going to come in here and let the Romans kill out everybody just because one crazy man? I mean, that's the way he looked at him, Are we just going to let one feller here cause the Romans to come in here and kill us all? Why, it's better he die. Kill him. Get him out of the way. Then they won't destroy our nation. But the Bible said he didn't know it. But being the high priest, he prophesied that Jesus would bring in the atonement that year for the people. See, now it shows you that you can't do your own thing. Somebody said, bless God, I'm going to do my own thing. Wow, here Caiaphas is. He thought he was doing his own thing and was doing exactly what God ordained. God having his way and all. See, Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, I'll destroy that Moses, doing exactly what God raised him up to do, walking right in the path God ordained for him. Well, that ought to make you fear, folks. That ought to make you shake in your shoes and realize that what you need to do is say, oh, God, have mercy on me. Thy will be done and not mine. Because I don't care what you do. You're going to do what God said do. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of trying the Bible by the intellectual tree of knowledge that they call science. Paul called it science, falsely so called. The word science means knowledge. Whether it's medical science, that is medical knowledge, or whether it's this kind of science, or whatever it is, Paul said it's false. It's false. Now the reason he said that is because he didn't try the word by science. He tried science by the word. He found it to be false. So I try medical science by the word, not the word by medical science. And I find that they're wrong. It's like when they said that the life of all flesh is the blood. That's wrong. I know, naturally speaking, As far as they understand, that's as far as they can see. But they declare that the life of all flesh is the blood. Somebody said, well, that's Bible. I know it's Bible according to the Old Testament if you understand what Moses was saying. Somebody said, well, the blood is the life of all flesh. Well, I'd love to know one thing. Why is it when you shoot a man, kill him, he's still got his blood in him? He don't always bleed to death. Somebody said he bleeds to death. Not always. You can knock him in the head and he don't have to bleed a lick. Have all of his blood in him. He just as dead as he can be. If the blood is the life of all flesh, why could he ain't alive? See, that isn't it. The spirit is alive. And the Bible said the spirit goeth back to God who gave it at death. That's the life. It's a life that's in the blood. You understand? So then scientists, all they can do is just go so far, that's all they can go. They don't know nothing about the spirit, so they have to stop with the blood. That's the foundation. That's all they see. But we know better. Is that right? Let's sing it together again. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Oh, Savior. Savior.